Hey, it's good to be back. I missed all of you. Where's Mikhail? Almost all of you. Yeah. It's just doesn't seem right not being here. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the message, and we put them before you, and we ask that whatever's from you find a home in our hearts and change us, because we desperately need to be changed. Whatever is not from you, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Which would include the last joke. Just let it go its own way. You know, it's odd that I was thinking about what happened here in Squirrel Hill, and then what happened in New Zealand at Christchurch, and then I realized that Kevin and Liang have been there for both of them. They're going to both. And it seems apropos for this sermon, because somewhere along the line, the Christians of this world have decided to start acting like the weeds, and we use Scripture to do things that should never be done. And if you look at some of the manifestos and some of the things that are done here, you'll see them try to use Scripture and put it in there and claim they're doing something for God. Well, let's take a look at that. Because we've been looking at the Beatitudes for a while now. We have seen that their overall purpose is to define what is valued in the kingdom of heaven, as opposed to what is valued in this world. Hence, for the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the kingdom of heaven in Scripture, because understanding it is the foundation of understanding and accepting the Beatitudes as a guide for what matters in our lives. As I said before, the kingdom of heaven is mentioned over 140 times in the New Testament, one way or another, yet we give it very little thought. That's a whole lot of sacred space devoted to one topic. We've been focusing our efforts on Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus gives us seven straight parables that tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like. Last time we looked at the parable of the sower and the seeds. This week we'll look at the parable of the wheat and the tares. While many a sermon has been preached and many a paper written about this parable, and there are numerous lessons to be gleaned from it, this morning I want to focus on just one point. The kingdom of heaven cannot be overcome by the kingdom of men. It is protected by its king. The wheat cannot be killed by the weeds. The kingdom of heaven dominates no matter what men contemplate. It thrives no matter what men contrive. Matthew 13, 24 through 33. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slave of the landowners came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'The enemy has done this.' The slave said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?'" Do you want us to pull the weeds? "But he said to them, 'No, for while you're gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. Take the weeds there, bring the wheat here.'" It is the constant theme about Judgment Day and about heaven, going away or coming to him. A couple verses later, Jesus explains this. In Matthew 13, 36 through 43, "When the crowds had left, they went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares in the field.' And he said to them, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man.'" Me is what he's saying. "And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so it shall be at the end of this age." When is that going to happen? At the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, those who hurt the church, and those who sin against God. He will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you remember a couple weeks ago, that the parables are full of fire and full of weeping and gnashing of teeth. They are not here to make you feel warm and fuzzy. They are here to make you think. And we'll throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Which usually means, pay attention. The seed that was sown has been sown in this world, and it is you. The sons of the kingdom, the heirs of the kingdom. It's what God wanted to grow up, sons of the kingdom. I keep telling you this is what God wants, and what this is saying is that's what he plants, so it produces sons. Please note that before the harvest, the seed is cast on where? The world. At the harvest, something important changes. The weeds are pulled out of the kingdom. At harvest time, the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our God. Revelations 11:15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. It's not that time yet, but it's coming. There's a point to all this. The weeds of the kingdom of men are no threat to the wheat of the kingdom of heaven. God has already taken them into account. What they do and who they are has been accounted for. The wheat does not need to fight the weeds of this world. The wheat supports each other and protects themselves from the sower of the weeds. We don't fight the weeds. We pray for the weeds. I fight my flesh, not their flesh. That's my enemy. Now, according to the International Bible Encyclopedia, the tares in this case are most likely bearded darnel, which resembling wheat has been supposed to be a degenerated wheat, a form of wheat that doesn't produce anything. On the approaching of this harvest, it is carefully weeded out from among the wheat by the women and the children, and it is commonly used as chicken's feed. It's indistinguishable from wheat until it matures. They look exactly the same, but one produces nothing. Then it offers no fruit for the sower, it's just suitable for scratch. Until the harvest, the world tries to use the kingdom for its purpose. While in reality, the kingdom has always been using the world for its purpose. It's notable that the sower allows the weeds to remain for the sake of the wheat. Noting that the removing the tares before the harvest may uproot the wheat and cause it harm. Because time and time again in Scripture, the king has used this world to address, discipline, and correct his flock. The weeds are subject to the purpose of the kingdom, whether they choose to be or not. And I remind you that all wheat was at one time weeds. The great commission to the wheat is not to go into the world and pull up the weeds. We are going to the weeds and preach the word to them so that they could be saved. The weeds don't overcome us. We overwhelm the weeds. What they do is no concern to the well-being of the kingdom of heaven. All the things we find ourselves worrying about as we watch the news, don't worry about them. Now, I'm not advocating complete disregard of this world. I'm advocating a sharper focus on the kingdom of heaven. In Mark 16:15, God doesn't tell us to go out of this world. He calls us to go into it. Acts 1:8 tells us we receive power from his Spirit to be a witness to the world. That's why we have the power. But know that there is a separation between this world and the kingdom of heaven, for now. The weeds are permitted to grow by God. Understand that as of now, we both exist side by side, and no one here can change that. We pray for the kingdom to come in its full expression every week because it has not done so yet. Considering the following scriptures regarding the wheat's interaction with the weeds, because scripture tells us how we're supposed to view this world. 1 Corinthians 5:9-10. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. That makes sense. Then he says, I did not mean at all with immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers or idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. What he's saying is, I'm talking about in the church. Paul makes a sharp distinction between the two kingdoms. Our fight is inside the church, not outside. In verse 13, Paul writes, those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. It's either true or it's not. And we look so fearfully at the world, we fail to see our own lack of growth. We're so intent on looking at their failures, we don't see what we're doing or not doing. In Luke 12:13-15, someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, speaking to Jesus, tell my brother to divide my family inheritance with me. Now, if you've ever been involved in inheritance or with the death of a loved one, you know how this can become. We all get a little glimpse of ourselves when this happens, when there's a little bit of money or a little bit of something hanging out there. Every one of us, no one's immune. So he comes to Jesus and says, we have this social situation that involves money. Tell us what to do. Jesus said to him, man, who has appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you? Then he said to them, beware. He said to him, then he says to everybody, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. And not even when one has abundance does this life consist of its possessions. He never answers the man's question. Jesus says, why are you asking me this question? It's not what I'm here to answer. Jesus refuses to assume social or legal authority over his situation in the kingdom of the weeds. He instead offers a principle from the kingdom of heaven to everybody. It says, here's the principle. Do with it as you should. In John 18:36-37, speaking to Pilate, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. See, this is why Pilate couldn't hear what he was saying. He heard the words. His kingdom is the kingdom. It is your kingdom. It is our kingdom. Not this world's kingdom. Jesus did not try to overthrow the kingdom of men. He planted his own right in the middle of it. In Matthew 26:52-54. As they were coming to arrest Jesus, Peter pulls a sword and chops off the ear of one of the temple guards. Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will Scripture be fulfilled, which says that it must happen this way? At this very moment where it looks like the kingdom of heaven is failing, it is winning. It is on top of everything. And it says, if you act like weeds, God will pull you out like a weed. If you pull your sword, you will die by the sword. God doesn't need your help in fighting the weeds. He chooses when, how, and where, not us. Our enemy is our own flesh and the accuser of the saints. We must put away the swords we've been sharpening to attack this world. The kingdom of heaven does not need protecting. The king protects what is his. Know this, the kingdom of heaven cannot be stopped, especially from the outside. Nothing they do can hurt the kingdom. The kingdom cannot be defeated. We have trouble understanding what victory is. We try to apply the world standard of victory to the kingdom's purpose, which is what? To produce sons. This is why Jesus gave us the Beatitudes, to compel us to stop mixing the rules and values of two dominions. You will be confused your entire life and you will never be at peace. What is a victory in the kingdom of heaven is often seen as a defeat in the world, and Jesus points this out to us in the Beatitudes so that we would know this and adjust our expectations to the realities of the kingdom of heaven, so that when he said, "Blessed are you who are persecuted," we will understand what that means. Truth is, Jesus had Pilate right where he wanted him, not the other way around. Jesus had Pilate's fate firmly in his hand and everyone else's. Pilate's words to him, "Don't you realize I have your fate in my hands?" And Jesus says, "You realize nothing." When the world says we are losing, we are told by the Beatitudes that we are winning. If we fail to accept this, we will fight battles that mean nothing in the kingdom of heaven, and we will damage our own growth more than we do the weeds. We devote ourselves to doing what God himself told the angels not to do. We try to pull the weeds before the harvest, a job we were never tasked with, and a job we are not qualified to do. Over the centuries, we have burned them, drowned them, tortured them, enslaved them, denied them the inalienable rights that God has given to all. And we've done so proclaiming it was for the kingdom of God. Instead of concerning ourselves with our growth, we've been focused on the weeds' growth, believing that the problem with us is them. In his word, God clearly instructs us how to deal with the kingdom of men. Colossians 4, 5 through 6. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. You see, no matter what they're doing, it's an opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Grace will tell you what to say. In Matthew 10:16, Jesus told his own, "I send you out as sheep among the wolves, and I want you to be wise as serpent and gentle as doves." Here this one says wisdom and grace, that one says wisdom and gentleness. The same thing. In the kingdom of heaven, we are sent into the world to be sheep among the wolves. Know that. Deuteronomy 28, 9 through 10. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord and you walk in his way. That's what you're supposed to do. So all of the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The actual translation is that they will be in awe of you. Not if you defeat them. If you defeat your own flesh. If you keep the commandments of the Lord and you walk in his way. If we keep his commandments and walk in his way, we will overcome the weeds. It doesn't say if we make them walk in his way and keep his commandments. It says if we do. We never lose our responsibility to be wise as serpent and gentle as doves as long as we live among the wolves. We don't need to be sure that, we do need to be sure that we are not the ones acting like wolves. And so often and so many times through history, that has been us, devouring the weak and the vulnerable. Now, each of us has a real civil, social, and political responsibility in this world. We have a moral duty to do what ours is to do to make this world the best place it can be until the kingdom comes and his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Until then, it is our mission and our duty to make it as much so as we can. However, the kingdom of heaven does not rise or fall with man's political inclinations or social interactions. It is immune to the weeds' dispositions. The kingdom of heaven is immune to the weeds' dispositions. Romans 13, 1 and then 5 through 8. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, because of consciousness' sakes. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are the servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. This is how we are to live in this world, and show respect to the kingdom of heaven as we interact with the weeds. You're trusting God, not them. However, when it comes to a point where is one or the other, where the two fundamentally contradict and conflict, then the kingdom of heaven must reign in our hearts and in our actions. As Acts 5:29 says, "But Peter and the apostle answered, we must obey God rather than men." Now, when they said that, they had no intention of harming the weeds. They were opening themselves up to being harmed by the weeds. And there's a difference. What we must understand is they were not fighting the weeds for the kingdom of heaven. We are not rescuing the kingdom of heaven from the weeds. The kingdom of heaven was not ever, is not now, and never will be in need of rescuing, especially by us. Nothing can stop the will of God. This world was created for God's purpose, and it will continue to be used for God's purpose no matter what you do or do not do, and no matter what the weeds do. And God's purpose is to have sons. This in no way means you do nothing. You do the will of the Lord and give thanks that he has allowed us to be used by him for his purpose. We do not give our lives to save the kingdom of heaven from the world. We offer our lives as a living sacrifice to save the world through the kingdom of heaven. God is well aware of the weeds. The weeds have already been dealt with. We have no spiritual reason to concern ourselves with the weeds other than their salvation. We do, however, have worldly reasons, social, political, financial, to interact with the weeds, but always in a spiritual manner, wise and gentle. I'm not saying don't address evil in this world when it is yours to address, which is whenever you have the means to do so, such as voting. Scripture tells us to overcome evil with good. It doesn't say anything about force. We don't fight fire with fire, we fight fire with light. What you have done, all you could do, and all you should do, be at peace, let it go, be at peace. The kingdom of heaven is just fine. Brothers and sisters, God has never lost an election, ever. Nor has there ever been a ruling or a legislation that has deterred or hindered the kingdom of heaven, ever. If you think there has been, then you know a different God than me, one much weaker than the one I know. No matter what men do, the kingdom of heaven moves on relentlessly and persistently towards its purpose, the fulfillment of the immutable will of the king. Consider these verses from Isaiah. This is just Isaiah 55:11-13. so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. What I want done gets done. For you, speaking to his people, after he said that, he says to his people, because of that, for you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills, nature itself, creation itself, will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all of the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. The weeds go away. Isaiah 45:23. I have sworn by myself, because there is no one greater for him to swear by. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and it will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow, and every tongue will swear allegiance. It is going to happen. Nothing is going to stop that from occurring. Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely just as I intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so it will stand. Every time I've said it before, it occurred. And every time I say it now, it will happen. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. Remember the former things long past. Think about what I've done. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God. There is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Simply because I said it will be so, it will be so. So I guess it's important that we know what is going to be so. That we know what the kingdom of heaven is about, so we're not confused by what the kingdom of men are doing when the two seem so different. John Newton said, if it were possible for me to alter any part of his plan, I could only spoil it. And that's what we try to do. We try to alter his plan to make it better, to fix it, as if it needed fixed. Philip Brooks wrote, nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies outside of the will of God. There is nothing you can pray that's going to change the will of God. Why would you want to? And I guess that's the point of the Beatitudes and the kingdom of heaven. Why would you want to? Understand it. Look at it. Know what it's working towards. And then you'll understand what's happening. And finally, Francis Chan wrote, God, interrupt whatever we are doing. Stop us so that we can join you in what you are doing. Because we can't do both. I'll leave you with 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. How to live as wheat surrounded by weeds. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's how it works in the kingdom when you understand it. When you understand the kingdom, you can do this with ease. No matter what the weeds are doing, rejoice, pray, give thanks, because you know what the kingdom is doing. This is God's will for the wheat, and this is our witness to the weeds. Amen.